of Almighty God. Let's continue reading, though, for a second. He removed all the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Isn't that interesting? For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense unto it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. Now I'm going to stop there, but I want us to get this picture of who Hezekiah was. Now the chapter 18 gives kind of a synopsis of Hezekiah's life. Now if you want to know more about Hezekiah's life after this morning, go and read the next couple chapters. There's about four or five chapters that talk about Hezekiah and the evidence of these things that we're looking at. And this morning, I want us to look at Hezekiah, that in his life we see the evidence of faithfulness. Do you catch that? The evidence of faithfulness. How can you know if you're being a faithful person? There's evidence. Do you realize that? That God looks at your life, he looks at my life, and he's looking for evidence. Now, some people teach that, you know, once you're saved, you got your golden ticket, and it doesn't matter what you do. I'm telling you, God looks at your life. We were talking about it a little bit this morning in our Sunday school class, that God, when God comes back, he says he's sending his angels back, and he's gonna gather his people up, and they will be rewarded according to what? Their works. You know what that means? God's judging you right now. You think, oh, he's going to wait to judge me when I get there. You're being judged right now according to the things that you do in this life. So what you do is important. If you do evil, then God sees it. He knows it. You're not getting away from anything with anything. God has seen it. If you're doing good, God sees it. And he says he rewards you appropriately. Here, Hezekiah, we see some evidence of faithfulness in his life that God would use to say he did right in mine eyes. What was the first thing that he did? Look at verse 4 with me. It says, he removed the high places, break down the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, for unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Now, I found that really, really interesting, that a part of what Hezekiah got rid of, because he didn't just let things just go. You know, Israel had set up their cultic practices. Unfortunately, Judah had too. But Hezekiah comes in as leader, as the one in authority, and he is judging the lives of his people. And he says they're doing some things that are inappropriate. What Moses set up, I mean, you remember that brazen serpent? What was going on? Do you recall? There was these fire, the scripture says that fiery serpents had come out and were biting the Hebrews, and they were dying. And they cried out to Moses saying, what can we do? Well, the reason the fiery serpents had come is because the people were in rebellion. And God sent the serpents to try to help them get their focus back. And he raised up this serpent, this brazen serpent in the wilderness. And he said, if you look unto it, you shall live. Well, back then, they weren't worshiping idols. They weren't doing those things. But what he finally saw was that they had turned something that God had given them as a help, as goodness, to help them understand their relationship with him, and they had turned it into a god in of itself. Do people in the Christian world ever do stuff like that? Man, I've heard of so many churches that they say that they've got their golden calves in the church, whatever they mean by that. It's things that they can't live without. Have you ever thought about that? Is there anything here in this facility that you're like, we can't live without it? Well, that would be like raising up the brazen serpent in the life of the church. Is there anything in your life that you couldn't live without? Then you've raised it up as something that you is false worship, that you are putting ahead of God. Anything that you have put ahead of God is an idol. You know, you're like, Brother Mitch, why are you talking about this stuff? We haven't done that. Are you sure? You think that people haven't? I'm about to go somewhere. Some toes are going to get stepped on. But we need to know that in America, we have set up idols in our lives. And in even those who call themselves Christians, they have set up idols. Hey, if you would miss church for it, if you would miss the assembling of yourselves together, I'm not saying that you have to. If you got a job, that's different. But if you choose to, you know, like your favorite sports team is playing, and you decide to stay home to watch that game, well, you set that up as an idol. Is that not what they had done? They had looked to something that Moses had set up that was for their that was for good. Now, there's nothing wrong with the sports teams. But if you had put that ahead of serving God, then you have made that an idol. Some people do that with their family. Their little kids, you know, man, they're so cute out there running across the soccer ball field or maybe the football field. But then they start hosting all their games on Wednesdays and Sundays and whatever day that is your opportunity to assemble yourselves together. I guarantee it, the devil will make sure that game is scheduled on that day, and you've got to make a choice. People make a choice. Am I going to allow my kid to learn how to make that an idol in his life, or am I going to teach them God is more important than anything you do in this world? And you know what we have done as church members? We have failed. And we have taught our children those things are more important. You know how I know? Go to any church in Jonesboro when those games are going on, and where are they at? They're at the game. Hey, if you're a youth leader and you're trying to schedule things, you've got to schedule around all of their activities because they won't show up. I'm just saying, God judged a country because they had done that. And Hezekiah says, those things are wrong. I'm going to get rid of even the bronze serpent that Moses set up. Do you think he caught some flack over that? I bet he had almost rebellion on his hands. Moses, how can you get rid of that? It'd kind of be like if we went in and we said we're getting rid of the Washington Monument, we're getting rid of the Lincoln Memorial, we're getting rid of all those things. What kind of fuss would that cause? Hey, I'm just saying, they had set up idols in their life, and they liked it. And they didn't want anybody messing with it. But God looked at Hezekiah, and he said, you did right, Hezekiah. Because you were willing to do that, think about what happened. God said, he made everything that Hezekiah did to prosper. Do you know what Hezekiah did? He trusted in the Lord. He says, I'm going to trust God. God looks at this and he says, that's wrong. That's bad. We've got to get people's minds away from that thing. And he trusted in the Lord that it didn't matter what kind of thing God was going to, that he was going to call, if he caused a rebellion in the city, and I'm sure that kind of happened. We're not really told what happened whenever he did that, but I know people. I've seen it. Hezekiah said, I'm trusting God with this. I know what's wrong. It's wrong for people to be worshiping that thing, even though Moses had set it up. It's wrong for them to be, we're going to the groves. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to get rid of every opportunity that they have to worship false gods. And you know, that's what you should do in your life. If there's something in your life that's causing you to worship false gods, you need to get it. You need a clean house. You need to get it out. If you're going to stay home because of a sports game and not engage in God's act in the kingdom work, man, you need to get rid of it. There's nothing wrong in of itself. I know I'm stepping on toes tonight, or today. But I'm saying, what is more important? Being found right in God's eyes? Or Him seeing, oh, this is more important than you? You're going to be held accountable. But you will never be able to say, oh, my preacher never told me that. No. He'll hit the rewind button and say, hey, you see this? He told you. You had an idol. You need to get it out. He wanted you to seek God's kingdom first. He wanted you to see Hezekiah and how he was willing to go there to remove that from your life. Yeah, you rebelled. But Hezekiah trusted. It wouldn't be long before his faith was even tested even harder. Because Assyria, they're not happy with just Israel. They want Judah too. And he sent some people there. And Hezekiah, you know what the first thing that he does? He goes to the house of the Lord and he begins praying. He doesn't start putting together this master plan, although God gave him a plan. Do you realize that? God gave him, man, Hezekiah was one of the smartest guys that ever lived. Things that he did, we don't even know about, some of us. Did you know Hezekiah, God had told him, Assyria's coming for Judah. How are you going to protect them, Hezekiah? And I'm sure he's racking his brain. God, how do I protect my people? I'm trusting in you. I know we can do it. We need something. God told Hezekiah to build this tunnel. Did you know that? Hezekiah built a tunnel from the city all the way to this pool. Assyria didn't know about it. And Hezekiah, he had teams started on this end and a team on this end, and they worked and they dug through this mountain with the technology that they had back then, and they met in the middle. So it didn't matter, and what that did is it caused water, fresh water, to continually come into Judah. Archaeology has shown us that. We just found it within the last 50 years. Hezekiah's tunnel. Why was that tunnel important? God said, Hezekiah, Assyria's coming. And I want you to trust me. But I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something that no other city has. I'm going to give you some insight. That tunnel met right in the middle. Supplied water. You can go there and you can see that tunnel. Amazing work of just architecture. Amazing. And then the company came. Assyria came. And Hezekiah prayed. And God says, I'm going to send a rumor. I'm going to let him know he's being attacked from the back. And he's going to have to leave. That was the first time. That wasn't enough. He didn't get the idea that you don't mess with God's people. The next time Assyria came back, he said, send a cherub back. And he's standing outside and he's mocking God's people. And he's saying, what gods have prevented us from taking over the rest of them? Israel couldn't do it. The land of the Moabites couldn't. What makes you so special, Judah? I'll tell you what made Judah so special is that they serve the Lord God, Jehovah, the Most High God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who said, I'm going to send, a virgin is going to conceive, and she's going to bear a son, and his name is going to be called Jesus, and he's going to die for the sins of the world. That God. If that God is for us, who can be against us? And that's what Sennacherib found out. And he's mocking Hezekiah. He's mocking Hezekiah's prayer life. The next night, God sends the angel of the Lord amongst his men. He's got over 180,000 soldiers encamped around Jerusalem. That night, the angel of the Lord killed them all. And he went home defeated. And God even said, Hezekiah, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to destroy his army. You're not even going to have to fight. I'm going to fight for you because you trusted in me. You got the idols out of your people's lives and you're getting their focus back on me. I'm going to protect you, Hezekiah. And he did. And he said when Sennacherib goes back, his own blood's going to kill him. And that's what he did. Sennacherib went back and he's praying before his God, saying, why did all my people die? His own son stabbed him in the back and killed him. There's a difference between Sennacherib and Hezekiah. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, and he wasn't afraid to tell people about the idols that they'd put in their life, the things that they had set before Almighty God that they needed to get out. He wasn't afraid to tell them, you've got to purge that. Jeremiah would say it like this in 17, verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, and her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Hey, God will take care of you if you trust in Him. No matter what is going on out there, He will take care of you if you could trust in Him and you could get those things out of your life that turn your heart away. He wants you to seek Him first and His righteousness. Look in verse 6, it says, and for he clave to the Lord. You know, I think I spent about 30 minutes trying to figure out how do I describe this word clave. You know, I looked it up. It says, depart not from following him. This is what the dictionary said. Cling, stick, stay close, cleave, keep close, stick to, stick with, following closely, join to, overtake, catch. Well, last night, I was having a conversation with my neighbor. He said, I'm going to be out of town. Would you just let me know if the electricity goes off so I can just plan for it? And while we were talking, we got to talking about this stuff that really sticks to you. Has anyone ever used that spray foam? Well, I think this is what this word clave means. I had this bright idea. You know, I had this wheelbarrow that the tire wouldn't stay inflated. So I'm like, I'll spray it. I'll just fill that thing up with the spray foam. Have y'all ever done that? Man, it's awesome stuff. I don't know if you've ever filled up a tire with it, but it's really good to fill up cracks. It's waterproof. Well, I'm like, it should take the form of that wheel on the inside. The only problem is when I sprayed it, it just kept expanding and expanding, and it came out. And as it's dripping down, I don't know what I did, but some dripped on the concrete, and I reached down and I touched it. And it was all over my hand. And I'm like, well, I'll just go wash it off real quick. And I went inside, dishwashing soap, and I'm like doing this. I made it worse. It clave to me. I tried rubbing it off. There was only one way it was coming off, if the skin came with it. It clave to me. So I was clave to spray foam for about a week until it finally, I don't know, the skin just let go or something. Maybe, I don't know, but it clave to me. It would not come off. No amount of soap would get it off. I even tried motor oil. I don't know if you've ever tried motor oil. You know, that it gets grease off pretty good. I would try that. No, I just had funny smelling hands now with the spray foam. It's not getting any better. It clave to me. It did help my tire a little bit. It ran a little flat, you know. I forgot to take the inner tube out. But anyway, it did work for a while. But here's the thing. He says that he clave to the Lord. You know, if you would clave to the Lord like that, I mean, spray foam can preach because it just keeps overflowing. It just keeps coming. When will it stop? Nobody knows. And when it sticks to you, when will it come off? Nobody knows that either. It's stuck to you. It's clave to you. Hey, the scripture says, he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. It was like, I'm not getting off of following God for any reason. Not for whatever the people want. Not for whatever the rest of my leaders. I'm sure there's a bunch of leaders that said, Hezekiah, that is a bad idea. I'm sure when he said, hey, let's build a tunnel, and they're like, are you crazy? How are we going to do that? You're talking about technology that just doesn't exist. You know, we can't do that today. What Hezekiah did back then, we cannot duplicate it. That's how smart Hezekiah was, or how miraculous the event of Hezekiah was. I'm telling you, if you could get a little piece of what Hezekiah was going through, his mind, his cleaving to the Lord, his trusting in the Lord, God will do miracles in your life. And we're sitting back wondering, you know, where is God at? We struggle with our prayer life. You're not going to struggle with your prayer life when you trust God like Hezekiah did. When you remove all those things that are distracting you, if you could cleave to Him. And it says he kept God's commandments. You know, it's not a problem to keep God's commandments when you're cleaving to Him. When you're right there, you want Him. You're like that foam, that spray foam. You are stuck. You are there. It's never coming off completely. It's always there. John 1, 5 and 3 says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, we're not just talking about something that he did. We're talking about faith that is springing up in Hezekiah. It's like that tree that's planted by the water. It never goes dry. It never longs for that water. It's always available because he's planted right there. He's stuck on the Lord. He's not leaving it for any reason. He's there. The Lord is with you. Look at verse 7 as we wrap this up. And it says, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went. And it even says he rebelled against Assyria and served him not. Hey, when God is with you, Romans 8:31, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? That's important. When you're serving God, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. If God is for you, who could be against you? He will make the things in your life prosper. The rest of the world will say, that's stupid. It's never going to work. Hey, if God's hand in it, it doesn't matter what you do. It's going to work. He is going to be in it. He is going to move it forward. Things are going to happen that, look, these are just miraculous. That should never happen like that. Hey, when God's in the details, anything can happen. Anything is possible. When you trust the Lord like Hezekiah was trying to illustrate for us, even so much as rebelling against the enemy. I'm telling you, the world is after you. He's after your children. He's after your grandchildren. After your nieces, your nephews. Anybody that you hold dear in your life, he's after. And Hezekiah was not afraid to rebel against Satan, against the enemy. We can't be afraid. We live in a world that's very afraid. We live in a Christian world that's very afraid. You know how I know that? Half the Christian songs that are written talk about fear. They're afraid. Hey, if you're trusting in the Lord, you're not afraid. You don't need to sing those songs about fear. That's not even what comes to your mind. What comes to your mind is, how can I reach that person over there? Because they need to know how to get idols out of their life. They need to know how to trust the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They need to know how to engage against their enemy, the devil. When they see you do it, you'll be their example. They'll see your faith. They'll see the love that you have for their brethren. They'll see your courage in the midst of obstacles. But it starts when you say, I'm getting all this junk out of my life. Anything that's going to distract me, I'm getting it out. And then they'll see how you trust the Lord. What they'll see why is Judah being blessed? Why is the whole world being conquered by Assyria, but they can't conquer Judah? And they'll see you as an island in the midst of the hordes, of the multitudes. And there'll be something different about that island. There'll be something different about you. Like, how are they overcoming? Because they have faith in the right thing. And they're not afraid to exercise it. They're not afraid to take those steps forward, to take those risky steps forward. Hezekiah, don't mess with that. That's been around since Moses. Y'all ever heard something like that before? Been around since Moses. Literally. And Hezekiah says, yeah, it may have been around since Moses, but you guys have turned it into a worship idol. And it's got to go. I'm more concerned about your future than I am about the past. I'm sorry, Moses. Guess I'll talk to you about that in a few years. But right now, what you have made has become a hindrance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sorry, Moses, but it's got to go. God comes first. And that's where we got to be. God's got to come first. Would y'all pray with me? I don't know who's going to be our song leader. You're going to do it? All right, come on, buddy. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for your love and for your mercy. Would you guide us in this understanding? I know this is not the easiest message to take in, but God, it's so true. You looked down and you saw Hezekiah, and you said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. There was no other king before him. There was no other king after him that turned his heart as much as Hezekiah did to serve the Lord. And you bless Hezekiah in a mighty, miraculous way. Lord, we need that in our country, in our city. Lord, would you help us to get a taste of that? Would you give us that understanding? Would you help us to apply a little bit of what Hezekiah did in his life to our life? Make us like your Son. Conform us to his image. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.